We are going to look at a subject that we have not looked at for some time, at least not from the pulpit here. You know, but before I get into the subject, I had to make few introductory comments, and that is the whole purpose of looking at this subject is to see the biblical perspective, biblical teaching regarding this subject. It is not in any way directed towards any individual or events, and I want to make that very clear from the beginning. Okay, I truly believe in speaking the truth in love. You know, you will never know the struggle of a person or the difficulties of a person until you walk a mile in their shoes. One of the pastors of the Moody Church, he put it this way, truth without love is harshness, and love without truth is sentimentality. Okay. Another one said, truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. So, many times what they mean is the need to share difficult truths, but in a gentle, kind, and inoffensive manner. From a practical standpoint, we know that difficult things are best heard when our defense are not up in a loving, non-threatening environment. And if at that times the truth are more readily accepted and received. So it is biblical to share hard truths with others, but in love. So I want to make it very clear that my goal is to speak the truth in love. Okay. So I hope I aroused enough curiosity to know what the subject of my studies this morning. The subject is marriage and family. Now, Christian has done a tremendous job of introducing, or at least an opening into this subject. And he said, the heart of the matter is the heart, right? The heart of the matter is the heart. Now that we have a lot of young people in our midst who are getting ready for the marriage, you know, this is the open season for marriage, right? Every other week you are at a wedding. And also, we have a lot of young couples in this assembly, and, you know, the struggles of the marriage and the children. So this can, sometimes it can be overwhelming. And so I want to share a few things with you to help. You know, whatever state you are in now, you know, whether you are a single looking for a life partner now, or a single by choice, or single for some other reasons, or you are newly married or married for several years, whatever stage in life you are now, I can assure you that looking at this subject will greatly benefit us. Now, the next question is, what is my qualification for taking this subject? You know, a teacher must have some authority over the subject that he's going to take. First, I was a single once. Maybe it is hard to believe now, but I was single once, and I know somewhat how mind of a single person work. Okay. Second, I am married now, and the next month we will be celebrating our 32nd wedding anniversary. So, now I have lived longer as a married person than my single years. So, I can say that I have not only seen marriage from outside in as a single, but also from inside out as a married person. And we also raised two boys. And I have seen the practical implications of raising the children. You know, one of them actually drove down this weekend from Oklahoma to celebrate my birthday. And he took us out to dinner. And at the end, when he took his wallet out and flashed his credit card, you know, I thought, wow, finally my investment is paying off. Because I'm not used to that, you see. So remember, all those diapers that you're changing now can become a credit card in the future for you. Now, third, you know, I have lived long enough to see and study many, many marriages, some flourishing, some staggering and sputtering, and some that collapsed under the weight of the demand of the marriage. Fourth, you know, I want to tell you that prepare for this study. I have read several books written by many authors who are very knowledgeable in the subject. And fifth, and but most important of all, is my study and understanding of what the scripture has to say about this most important subject. You know, when I was preparing for this study, one thing I wrestled with was, where should I start? It's a subject, you know, where do you start this subject? So I decided to start from the beginning, okay? So we will read a few verses from 1 Peter, okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, okay? And we will look what Peter has to say. Like Christian said this morning, and we see that the heart of the matter is the heart is coming through these verses, okay? But I'm going to start at verse 7, okay, where the words for the husbands first, and then I will go back to the words for the wives, okay? Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, okay? That is a heart. That's a heart thing, okay? It's a matter of the heart. As to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, one thing I always think of is that if I could see my wife a minute after I get to heaven, if I could see her now in that form, I would probably have temptation to fall down and worship her now. You know, God is making something out of each one of us. And my wife, when I look at her, I see her as a vessel that God is preparing every day for his glory and honor. And my goal is to help her to be what God wants her to be. You know, again, like Christian said, it's a matter of the heart. There's a lot of work goes into it to come into that state of mind. Then I want to read from chapter 3, verse 1 on. It is few thoughts for the wives. Okay, wives likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. So how you behave as wives are very, very important, because how you behave can radically change your husband for the good or for the bad. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let the adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. There it is. The hidden person of the heart. With the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So, It is very interesting to me that the Bible starts with a wedding and it ends with a wedding. You know, the first book of the Bible, there is a wedding. The wedding, a marriage, Adam and Eve. And when you come to the last book of the Bible, there is a wedding. The wedding of the great bridegroom and the bride. And the story of the whole Bible, in a way, is this bridegroom actually preparing this bride for that day. And what did he do to secure his bride? What sacrifices did he make? We can think about that as the weeks ahead of us. But you know, at every Christian wedding, we are reminded of the fact that God is the designer of marriage. You know, an example we all carry a phone in our hands these days. You know, I have an iPhone. It's very small. You may be carrying some other brand, but I'm sure it's a smartphone, right? But when Apple designed the iPhone, they built in so many different functions into that phone. You know, and you can do a whole lot more than what its primary use is for. And that is to make a phone call. That's what your phone is for, right? You know, and that's the easiest thing you can do with your phone. But if you want to access the rest of the functions that is built into it to make your life a lot easier, you have to take time to figure it out. You know, for instance, you know, if you want to connect your Wi-Fi at home, you have to put in your password and you have to set it up. If you want to see your email, you have to take time to set up your email account in the phone. And if I want to listen to your favorite music, you may have to download some third-party apps to your phone. You want to figure out how to back up your favorite pictures of family and friends and vacations. But it takes time and effort to do this, isn't it? But once you do this, you will enjoy what it brings into your life. You know, anyone can pick up the phone and make a phone call. But if you want to access the rest of the functions that is built into this phone by the designer, you had to put in time and effort. You know, smartphones are expensive. And if you are using it only for a $10 phone call, you are losing out and you are missing out quite a bit, isn't it? Now, let me take you from the iPhone designer to the marriage designer. You know, we just said that God is the designer of marriage, and God, who is the designer of the universe, the one who is upholder, the grand designer, if he designed marriage, do we think that it is a very simple design? Don't you think that there is a lot more in this design than what we primarily use it for? There is a lot more built into this design, and if we can figure it out, it is going to radically change your view of marriage and family. But it will take time and effort to figure this out. It will not automatically fall into our lap. You know, just like anyone can pick up a phone and make a call, anyone can get married and have children. You know, but if you want to get the most out of your marriage, if you want to enjoy everything the designer intended us to enjoy, we have to take some time and put in some work. You know, I know that these smartphones are very expensive, and you will never, ever think of throwing it out just because you are having difficulty figuring it out. You know, but marriage is immensely costlier. You know, not just the financial cost, but there is the emotional well-being of two individuals to begin with, it is at stake. You know, whatever else you may have, you will never be able to enjoy unless you are emotionally healthy. Then you have to think about the cost of the effect of marriage on our children, you know, which can carry on to the next generation. You know, study has consistently shown that children that grow up in unstable families and make, they are more likely to enter into unstable relationships and make wreck of their lives. And then think of the most of all the cost, I think it is undermining and ignoring the great designer, our God. You know, is it worth our time to understand this design? Even if it means spending time and energy, it may be hard work. And that is why a lot of people give up on marriage. They do not put enough time and effort to figure this out. They go away saying, it is not what is cracked up to be. You know, most Bible scholars agree there are two human institutions that stand apart from all other institutions. Some say three, but I'm going to take two. That is the family and the church. And some put in the state also in it. You know, they stand apart from every other human institutions, and I will tell you in a minute why they are unique. You know, think of this. A lot of you work in the healthcare field. And but the Bible does not, you know, say anything about how to run a hospital. You know, some of you work at the tech industry, and the Bible does not say anything about what products you should invent or what products you should concentrate, what technology you should pursue. It does not tell us how to run a university, even though these are all helpful in our modern society. The Bible does not address them or regulate them, and we are free to run them according to general principles and guidelines that will benefit the most. But marriage and church is different. Marriage, God is the designer, and what he designed, he regulates. And moving away from those regulations, we can make shipwrecks. And that's where we have to think of what the design is all about. You know, marriage is not something that evolved over time. Marriage was the climax, like Christian said this morning, of the creation account. It was the climax of the creation account was a marriage. When God brought the man and woman together. The climax of the origin of creation in Genesis, it's a wedding. And you know, the climax of the new creation in Revelation will also be a wedding. So the idea of marriage concept, marriage was originated in the heart of God. He is the one who designed marriage. And therefore, what the Bible says about God's design for marriage is absolutely crucial. It's absolutely vital. It is absolutely necessary if we want to experience what God intended in this. You know, if we are experiencing difficulty of any sort, it is not in the flow of the designer or the design, but it is because of our failure or an unwillingness to understand the designer and the design itself. You know, one of the writers put it this way, you often hear it is said that people have banned marriages, but in fact, this is not true. Marriage is a God-instituted covenant between a man and a woman, and it is not just good, it is great. That has never changed. The institution of marriage hasn't failed. People failed. Says couples are simply giving up and walking away, or simply have no idea what they can do. And the good news of all this is that even the most soured relationships can be healed. Things can change. People can change. Marriage can be better than they ever were before. I think that's a good summary of what I was trying to say. So in the next few weeks, my goal is, from the scripture and by practical reasoning, that I may be able to present you some convincing arguments for marriage for those who are considering it. And if you are already married, how to get the most out of your marriage. You know, for a few years ago, I received a wedding invitation. And it had the picture of the bride and the grooms-to-be and them, then of their wedding invitation in the card. In bold letters, it says, "Love is all you need." And when you go to their website, to RSVP, it's all over the page. Love is all you need. You know, that is the feeling of most couples after they find their life partner, as they are ready to enter into a relationship. Love is all you need. You know, they are so intoxicated with the idea of another person entering into their life. You know, they are in an emotional high period of time. They are in what we call in love experience. You know, they are totally obsessed with each other. They look at others that do not seem like the way they are feeling. And they say to themselves, "Look at those fuddy-duddies. They don't know what it is to be romantic. You know, we are never going to act like them. We are always going to be like this. Because we know how to be romantic. We are never going to be like them." And every wedding that you attend, we can see how the new bride and groom go out of the way to show how euphoric they are feeling at the moment. Sometimes they hit the dance floor and show all the latest moves to show that they are with it. And their life is going to be a continuous dance floor. And they will be dancing their way through life. You know, and those who are married for years, whom they call fuddy-duddies, they will be sitting there and they will be grinning from ear to ear and telling themselves, you know, just give them a little time. Just give them a little time. They will be dancing to a different tune. You know, one of the marriage counselors, you know, wrote about his experience of premarital counseling. And he said, one of the questions he asked the couple when he interviewed them when they are ready for marriage, I said, "What makes you think you are ready for this step? What makes you think you are ready for marriage?" And usually he said, the one will take the other's hand, and they kind of lean towards each other. And one of them will reply in very tender voice, "Because we love each other." And counselor said, "You know, when I hear that, I have a half a mind to reach across that desk and slap them silly so I can knock some sense into them." You know, love is all you need. Is that really true? Actually, Paul spent a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians explaining the power of love and what it can do. You know, problem with that is we are not lovable at all times. You know, our fallen nature sometimes take over and we become very unlovable and unbearable. You know, love is definitely a strong bond that keeps us together, but there are some other ingredient needs to be included in the recipe of marriage when the sweetness of that initial euphoria fade out, when it goes out of the window at times. And we will look into that as we go through the week. Now, what happened to that couple that started their marriage with the great theme, "Love is all you need"? Well, they have actually fallen out of that love. And the marriage was disintegrated in a very short years. You know, that is why our society's experience with marriage, they came up with the metaphor, the honeymoon is over. You know, what is all this means? Does it mean that marriage is not what it's cracked up to be? Is it impossible to have a great marriage? Is it better to say, I'm not going to get into this marriage business because I may not be loved, or I may not be able to give love when your husband or wife act unlovable at times? Is the marriage something that is worth the trouble? Well, C.S. Lewis put it this way in his book, The Four Loves. He said, to love at all is vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully, round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. You know, next week I want to look at how to love the stranger that moved into your life. You know, you thought you knew your married partner, right? You thought you knew your husband or wife. Surprise, surprise, right? Because that person is never that person that you saw before the marriage. Because before the marriage, your encounter was always on controlled environment. But when that taken away, when you see the real person, that initial euphoria may fade out. But what keeps you still married? What keeps you still love? Keep on loving the person that came into your life. I think the Bible has the answer. We just had to find it. So our idea is that I will be taking the next week also, and Christian will take over after that for next 3 weeks, and then I will come back at the end in July and finish it up. Is that sounds okay? Okay. So that's our plan for right now. So I hope this will be a great study. I just want to give you one example in my home life. it takes a lot of sacrifice to have a great marriage, right? So when I see something extremely good in our home, you know, when my wife goes out of her way to do something for me, I tell her, hey, you know, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. She will laugh and I will laugh, and we have a good laugh at this. But the truth of the matter is that I see some graces that is given to her that I do not have. And I think when I see that, I say, I need to grow up to that level. When I grow up, I want to be just like her. And that is very, very good way of looking at it. And I think, when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is to go to my coffee maker and make a cup of coffee. You know, I love coffee in the morning. And she will be sitting there. She gets up much earlier than I do, and she'll be sitting in the living room and be studying her Bible. And when I make the coffee, so she'll say, hey, are you going to share that with me? Since she goes out of her way to do things for me, I will happily give her half of my coffee, even though I like the whole coffee for myself. Is that sacrifice or not? Huh? That's sacrifice. So the coming week, I think you will enjoy this, because this is going to be a look at the practical, more practical aspect of the marriage, and Christian probably will take more dive deeper into the scriptural aspect of this marriage. Okay, so we will stop right there for today. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy and mighty presence, and we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, when we think of him, we think of the great love with which he loved us. Father, there is nothing in our mind, in our heart, in our actions that we can repay for what he has done, other than fall at thy presence and worship and adore you. Father, we thank you for this morning, for the words that Christian brought to our heart this morning. Help us, Father, so that we may transform our hearts to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ in the days to come. And Father, we pray for each and every family here. We pray for the newly married. We pray for the young families with children. We pray for those who are married for quite some time. We all need thy grace. And Father, we pray that thou may give us thy grace, so that we may raise families that honor thee. We may raise children that honor thee and follow thee in their lives, so that the next generation will belong to you. That we may take this as a great responsibility that is on our shoulders, but it's a joyous one. So, Father, we commit these unto the mighty hands, and we pray that they may be with us and bless us. Bless our time together again, Father, we pray. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Amen.